Hello and welcome to The Big Fight, a show that is young at 21, the oldest running debate show on Indian news television. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. While news stories have largely moved on to Twitter controversies, religious conversions, and what have you, the truth is that the second wave is still not over. There is a marginal rise in the R factor of COVID, actually. Maharashtra, Kerala, and some other South Indian states are an area of major concern. Add to that a Delta Plus variant, a new variant. Delta is wreaking havoc, now there is Delta Plus. We know too little about it. And we do know what it is capable of doing. Actually, we do not. But we can't take any chances. Then our vaccination strategy. It was great to have reached 88 lakh jabs a day. But we have again come down from the peak, far behind what the strike rate should be. And if these two things are not sorted out quick, an impending and imminent third wave could be there. We really cannot afford that, can we? So on The Big Fight tonight, Delta Plus, vaccination, and an impending third wave. The big question, are we ready? And I can't think of any other person, any better person to answer this question than my guest, our special guest, Dr. N.K. Arora, Chairman of the COVID Working Group, member of the NTAGI, the National Technical Advisory Group on Immunization. Thank you very much, Dr. Arora. If I were to ask you point blank, these three issues, crucial issues, right? Delta Plus variant, the fact that even now we see a great fluctuation in our immunization exercise, and an impending third wave. Dr. Arora, are we ready?
These three questions are at the top of everybody's mind who is directly or indirectly involved with the COVID-19 pandemic in India. And I will take one by one.
Sure.
Now, we need to appreciate that this so-called Delta Plus variant, which basically a structure of Delta virus plus there is a small mutation which was seen in South African or gamma variant from South Africa. Beta variant, which is from South Africa. It's a mixture of the two, and this is Delta Plus. It is also called AE1. Now, we must appreciate that as the surveillance is going on, genomic surveillance today has become very effective and efficient, and we have been able to pick it up very early. So, and as the cases are accumulating, we are able to share the information, and we know by just a while ago it was 52 cases or something. So that is under control, that where the cases are, and you know, in several cases in Maharashtra, these have been there. And as we understand, Maharashtra has already started taking this basic science and highly scientific information into action. So district-specific action plans are being prepared how to contain the spread of this virus, and similarly in the other parts of the country as it is spreading. Number two, the rate of vaccination. Now, before I talk about the rate of vaccination, here I would like to say that whether it is Delta or Delta Plus or any other variant, the vaccination seems to be effective against severe disease and hospitalization and death. This is across the board. Whatever vaccines are available in our country, and a lot of other vaccines which are about which we know, but at least for both of our vaccines, we know. And some of the initial message I saw a little while ago, we had a meeting that the people who are getting these disease with Delta Plus and who have been immunized, they are getting either mild disease or asymptomatic disease. Now, this is very heartening in that sense. So vaccination is critical, and faster we vaccinate and rapidly with which we cover our population, that will be very important. Now, you raised the issue that on the first day we had about 8.6 million and it has come down. Now, we need to look at this, that today also I think we are touching 6 million and it's around hovering around 6 million or so, most of these last 4-5 days. And because the number of immunization centers have to get going. On the first day, there were 68,000 immunization centers. Now it is hovering around 54 or 53, 10,000 less immunization centers, and that does make a difference. So, and private sector has to chip in now, because private sector is very minimum, it's around less than 2,000. So I think there is need for push both from government side to expand the immunization center as much as possible, and simultaneously private sector has to chip in because they are particularly important from urban side. And I can assure you now the vaccine is not an issue. Vaccines are available, and it is just question that we need to push, and simultaneously a major social mobilization campaign has to go on in a sustained and aggressive manner so that people come forward. The very fact that we are now seeing that the numbers, the although the immunization centers are same, but since vaccine availability has improved, the immunization rate has also increased. It was basically a mean of around 2.5 to 3 million was there. Mm-hmm. Now we are getting around 6.5 million per day. Okay. So I think it is not so bad, but I totally agree that our target is 10 million doses every day. And right, we need to catch to that level as
fast. Dr. Arora, I remember talking to you on this very show where you said that we have the capability of taking our centers up to 75,000, even more if need be. That is our 100,000. Capability.
Sorry? 100,000. 100,000 sites.
Absolutely. I stand corrected. You mentioned 100,000 also. By your own admission, we are at 58,000 or 54,000. Dr. Arora, at a time where availability was the problem, we said, let vaccines be available. We have everything else in place. Now you're saying availability is not the problem. Everybody has to chip in and make sure that the centers are up and running. Dr. Arora, why? Just wanted to know from you, is there a realization that all of these arms need to work simultaneously and fast? There are many experts who feel that the immunization must be complete not by the end of December, but actually in the next 2-3 months.
You are absolutely right that immunization is our key weapon, key intervention, and it should move fast. And I hope what we are discussing is also heard in other quarters, and the number of centers are increased rapidly. I am very sure that over next a week or so, the centers are likely to be increased or ramped up. If you remember, in April, we had gone up to 75,000. In first half of April, it was up to 75,000. And we need around the same number so that the more and more number of people are there. The other heartening point today is that 2/3 of these current centers are in rural area. And even in rural area where there was a lot of concern, vaccine is being taken up. So I would say it is encouraging, but I totally agree with you that we need to have more immunization centers. So
but
that
Dr. Arora, why did these immunization centers come down? As you said that on the first day they were up, and then they've come down by about 10,000. However, we have the capability of 100,000. Why are we around the 50% mark?
I am not today in a position to answer that question, but certainly we can come back on that and discuss it. I really cannot answer that, and I will stop at that.
Okay.
But we certainly need more immunization centers or immunization centers to ramp up the process.
No, but then Dr. Arora, see, these immunization centers are not just restricted to centers created by the central government. I'm sure there would be state participation also. Would you like to tell us where exactly is the problem? At the state level, central level, private level?
So I must tell you now, since you are asking that, I was avoiding that component, and you have come to the point. There are several states, at least 8 or 9 states, which need to really bring up these number of centers, because after all, delivery is given by states, and these states need to push up. And that's what I was trying to say. The second component, private sector at one time had promised that they will ramp up and provide up to 20,000 sample centers. Today it is less than 2,000. So you can, and so there is need to be a pressure on private sector, who have been doing a great job during all this pandemic, now to come up. And certain these states you are talking about, it's available and in public domain, that those states have to really ramp up the number of sites, because states bring up the number of immunization centers.
Would you like to tell us the states of concern where?
I would avoid that, and maybe we can move on to the next one.
Okay, sure. But you say that this data is available, and
it's available. If you go to COVID platform, you know exactly where what is the state.
Sure, I'm going to do this homework and maybe invite you again, and then we can see after a week maybe when we have more of these centers, hopefully. My next question is on this Delta Plus variant. You answered briefly and touched upon this in your opening comment that the existing vaccines will make sure that serious hospitalization will be prevented. Dr. Arora, do we have conclusive evidence to suggest that vaccines work even against this new mutation or this new variant?
So the laboratory studies are going on. I must say, laboratory studies are going on, and whichever country let's say North America or some of the European countries, where coverage has increased beyond 50% and at least single dose in 60-70% or 80%, their panic is not there, because they see that this particular variant, although it is gradually spreading, but the damage it was expected, it is not causing. Prior to that, I must also say that in a place like UK, where the cases have increased exponentially during last 2 weeks, but serious disease and casualties have not increased so much. And primarily because a large proportion, about I think 48 or 50% is immunized in that country. So whatever is the vaccine, it appears symptomatic disease may be affected. So-called effectiveness, vaccine effectiveness on symptomatic disease may come down. But on serious disease, hospitalization and death, a very significant, I think 90% plus efficacy is there if somebody has received two doses of any particular vaccine. And so irrespective, whether it is Covaxin, AstraZeneca, mRNA vaccines, all these vaccines seem to be work pretty well for serious one. And that is why it is important.
You know, Dr. Arora, just want to quickly go back to the point on how do we spruce up the vaccinations. I'm not going to ask you which are the states, because you've already told me where to get that data from. My question to you is, you know, we can't afford a state center lack of coordination. Now, we've seen what havoc a Delta variant wreaked in the second wave. So obviously, I'm sure the priority as far as decision makers like yourself are concerned will be to have this coordination. Is that process happening or not? And by what time can this be fixed? How soon?
So basically, I'm a technical guy. And so we provide that this is what it is. I think program people will be able to answer better, and all this state, center, and some of these are truly program and operational issues.
Sure.
And I'm not the right person. But clearly, we need to see that number of centers are ramped up, increased across the country. That is the way, and so that delivery also becomes better.
Sure.
And particularly in states like Maharashtra and some of the other 10, 11 states where these new cases are coming up. And these are only tip of the iceberg, I must tell you. Like we say 45, 48, 52 cases. These are the tip. I'm sure the number of cases are many more. So because every sample is not genomically sequenced. But the fact is that we need to really work hard and see that as soon as possible, as much as possible, this immunization issue is taken up.
Dr. Arora, two quick questions before I let you go. Realistically speaking, do you think that we can achieve our end of the year target as far as vaccinating all? I'm again coming back to that concern that many experts have raised, that we can't even wait till the end of the year. It has to be done before Diwali or before the festive season, if we want to avoid the third wave.
So I must tell you that the target is reaching 1 crore doses a day. I think we have to be practical. We can't say we will reach 2 crores or something. if you are talking about 3 months. Because even if you have 1 crore, 100 days, and then there are interruptions, holidays, weeks, so at least 4 or 5 months are required for one dose. Mm. And simultaneously, behind a gap of 1 month or 3 months, there will be another row going on for getting the second dose kind of a thing. So it's very practical kind of a thing that if we are able to, and even one dose, as I'm trying to tell you, is very effective. It does prevent. And some of the information which is coming that one dose is 33, double dose is 60, I personally feel there are methodological issues. When we look at the Indian data, whether it is one dose or two dose, I have spoken before also, the breakthrough infection rate is very similar. So I would say there is not much difference, but at least if one doses are given, even that will make a lot of difference to that. Mm. And rapidly, as soon as, and I think before the festivals, we should try to give as many people as possible the first dose, and then the second dose keeps on going. But here I would say target has to be 100%. Unless I keep a target of 100%, I will not be able to achieve the desired level where some transmission, deceleration, or interruption starts taking place, or impact on the ground can be seen.
Dr. Arora, now that availability is not a concern, as you've said, supply lines are restored, do you think that there is a possibility of reducing the gap between the two Covishield doses? I know availability was only one of the concerns. It was backed by science also, experts have told us. But now that availability, one of the concerns, is sorted, do you think the government should reduce the duration?
As I have talked before also about this whole vaccine tracking platform, we are looking at this issue, vaccine effectiveness, in its entirety. And it is the particular type of vaccine, the intervals, and also the geographic area wherein, what is the baseline infection, what is the epidemic state, everything is being looked at, and everything is under review. And as we talked before also, the objective is to provide the best possible protection against the pandemic virus, which is changing its form every time. Here I must also say that at some time we will have to sort of stop thinking every time, because every 10 days a new variant may likely to come. This Delta Plus has come in after we learned recently about Delta. So these things will keep on coming. The question is that along with looking at the genomic sequences, we also need to start thinking in the complete comprehensive manner, immunization on one side and corona appropriate behavior. It has to be comprehensive. Otherwise, it's a no-winner sort of situation. And we may find another, in next 3 months, another three or four variants. What do we do? So issue is not to create panic. You asked another question, very important, third wave. Correct. Third wave is dependent on three factors. One is, what is our baseline seropositivity. Now, in the last 3 months, a ferocious epidemic has occurred across the road, across the country, and a large proportion have been infected in that. So that will make some effect. On top of that, we are rapidly trying to immunize as many as possible. And particularly elderly, a significant proportion have been given at least a single dose and also double dose. Two. And number three, that how the community behaves, whether they just start thronging Shimlas and Nainitals and create traffic jam there.
Well, that's happening, Dr. Arora. It's happening already.
Sorry?
Oh. I'm saying it's happening already.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, that we need to be a little more responsible to ourselves, our families, our mohallas, and our communities. I think we need to still restrict ourselves. Kabhi aisa lagta hai jaise jail se chute aur sab log bhag pade. I think that we need to hold on ourselves for some more time.
Dr. Arora, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you very much.
All right. So lots of important points that Dr. Arora has mentioned here. Let's take this to our panel of doctors. Dr. Sapan Pandya, extended member of the COVID task force. We have with us Dr. Dhruva Chaudhary, professor and chair of pulmonary and critical care medicine at PGIMS Rohtak. Dr. Sunila Garg, Professor, Community Medicine, MAMC. She's also a member of the Lancet Commission and COVID India Task Force. And we have Dr. Chandrakant Laharia, Epidemiologist and Health Systems Expert, New Delhi. Thank you very much. Dr. Laharia is also a co-author of Till We Win, India's Fight Against COVID-19 Pandemic. Thank you very much. Dr. Garg, I want to begin with you first. You know, India this week upgraded the Delta Plus variant from a variant of interest to a variant of concern in just about a few hours, right? But we did it. It is a variant of concern. Now, how much do you see this being associated with the third wave?
See, basically, right now, the numbers are quite less. So we cannot say that, you know, it will be associated with third wave because we need to be very cautious. As of now, we have got about 48 cases in 11 states. And we need to see that, you know, how, you know, in terms of testing, treating and tracking, how this virus is going to behave. It's not necessary that, you know, because so many factors are responsible for third wave. It is also going to be our seropositivity. It is also going to be, you know, about our vaccination coverage. Because if I was to give you an example of United States, you see, we saw basically we had 0.1% cases just few days back, and now we are 20.6% cases. But the mortality has not gone up. So that is where we need to also look at, you know, in terms of when we talk of third wave, we have to talk in numbers in terms of, you know, severity of the disease and also, you know, how, you know, the system is responding to that. So that is where I feel that it's too early to say that this is going to be responsible. Okay. And it will all depend upon, you know, how much population we are vaccinating, how much population of ours follows COVID appropriate behavior.
Isn't that the key? Vaccination. And fast vaccination.
Vaccination and COVID appropriate behavior both Correct. Go hand in hand.
Correct. Dr. Because Vincent Rajkumar, Professor of Medicine, Mayo Clinic is also with us. Welcome, Dr. Rajkumar. What do you feel? I mean, what is the global experience been? What in your wisdom should be done from here on to be right? Because, you know, the key question remains that there is a third wave warning given by the government itself that the third wave could be imminent. And we have just about started increasing the pace of vaccination. There's still massive fluctuation.
Yes, thanks so much for having me. I really enjoyed Dr. Arora's comments, and I cannot disagree with any of what he said. I mean, he just nailed all of the important issues. You need COVID-appropriate behavior, which means masks, avoiding crowds, because that is your vaccine until you get vaccinated. You need to have a vaccination rate of 10 million doses per day so that at least in 3 months, you'll give at least one dose to most of the population. You do know, he is absolutely right, that if you look at symptomatic COVID, one dose may look like 33% effective. But when you look at, you know, ability to prevent hospitalization, need for oxygen, ICU admissions, deaths, then all vaccines are incredibly effective, even with one dose. And you see with the recent CMC Valor study that it was really very, very, very effective with one dose. So I think don't worry about the two-dose strategy right now for India. Mm-hmm. And then finally, we cannot help new variants coming. That is not in our control. The other factors are in our control, speeding up the vaccination and this. And most of the time, what has happened in the US with the first, second, whatever, third waves is people forget that they are still susceptible until you're vaccinated. And we just have to keep a single message, uniform message saying that, you know, you are still susceptible. If the cases are down, it's because of lockdowns. It's because people were scared and they took precautions. You relax the precautions. The virus is still there. It's just going to come and get you. Mm. So we have to just keep emphasizing the same messages that all your panelists, Dr. Arora, kept insisting on. Mm. And just single-minded focus, single message, unified.
Dr. Rajkumar seems to like Dr. Arora's comments. It is pretty apparent. Thank you very much. Dr. Pandey, I want to come to you now. You know, Dr. Arora also mentioned a very crucial aspect of availability not being a concern now, but these vaccination centers now being a problem. And the two key points and the two key areas which he pointed out are the private sector as well as the states. Do you feel that this is not the time to be to be having this problem. We should have learned our lessons. So far, we were saying only availability of the vaccine is the problem. Now we have a new problem.
Oh, thanks, Sanket. Yes, I think we need to open the vaccine centers as many as possible, including the private ones, and also as many states can do it themselves. Because as Dr. Arora said, and I agree with Dr. Rath that he answered the questions very well, that the states are finally responsible for giving the vaccines. If you look at the way the international the global people have gone for the vaccines, they've opened these huge museum and convocation centers, you know, for people which are basically outside areas, and the chances of infecting each other are much lesser. So I think those are the things we need to do and involve as many people as possible, because if you want to reach a target of even 40% by the end of this year, which is what is expected if we give 10 million jabs every day, then you need to still open up all of these as many as possible for the kind of population that we have. So yes, I agree with that part.
No, you're saying if we want to reach 40% by the end of December, you mean single dose?
Yeah, that's what's expected, the figure. If we give 10 million jabs, then we might reach about 30-40% of the population that we need to have. And by April end, it might reach up to 60%, which
is... But that's not enough, no? That won't be enough to stop another wave.
At the rate that we are going, that's the maximum that we can probably reach, and that should... It's wishful thinking, but, you know, that's still something that we should...
I'm glad that you're realistic. Realistically speaking, you're saying that we will not be able to vaccinate all with both the jabs by the end of this year. It cannot happen.
Well, yeah, but even this should be good enough to at least have some amount of immunity in the population.
Sure. Dr. Chaudhary, would you agree? Dr. Dhruva Chaudhary?
You see, what Dr. Sapan has said, I think, is the realistic situation. And secondly, we must realize that when we are talking in terms of centers, I was listening very patiently to Dr. Arora. I think when the supply was less, probably the best thing was to reduce the numbers. I think that can be the one explanation which I can say. But remember one thing. By repeatedly emphasizing on a single, giving you a Covishield, we are looking at three different platforms which are there, and you have been quoting the Lancet study from Scotland. I think it tells a lot about it. Against the variant, the so-called the best vaccines are also not, relative efficacy is lesser. So, and they very clearly say that the maximum peak you receive it reaches when it is 28 days, if I can recollect correctly. Now, here we are looking at it. There also, they found out of these three, the Covishield, which we are using, which is the Oxford Chad, has the, out of those three, has the least efficacy. But yes, it was giving in one 33% and then coming up to 61-62%. I think we need to really look at it. But end of the day, everything will go down. How much vaccines we are having it. But you may increase the denominator. But if you don't get the supply, then that will be a problem, one. And secondly, it is very easy to us. And Dr. Sunila is there, we both are there on the Lancet Commission when we talk about it. What is very important is, when we are talking in terms of COVID, that's true, but we must not forget UPI also, because that program is sooner or later going to be affected. So the question is, we need to take a very balanced view, and we need to look at the harsh reality and then move forward.
And what is that harsh reality, Dr. Chaudhary?
The harsh reality is that we are pushing the government in terms of two vaccination thinking, in terms of its supply is not there. You're also talking in terms of private sector. Now, private sector, let's say we are having a Sputnik, which has come up now, and few have started doing it. Unless or until you increase the platform or increase the number of supply, whatever we may talk in terms, because our numbers are so huge. And secondly, now the time has come.
But Dr. Chaudhary, hasn't the supply concern being addressed? I mean, the government says that now this big concern has now been addressed.
I hope so. And the time will tell us, one. And secondly, what is very important along with it is, we need to think in terms of the policy perspective, whether people who have got COVID, they really need to be vaccinated or not. Because that also will give you a liberate certain amount of vaccines. And secondly, if you have to give it, do they really need two vaccines, or a single vaccine or a booster may be good enough? So a lot of these questions are there, which obviously there are no easy answer when you're looking at it, but we need to really look at it.
Yes, Dr. Laharia, you see, apart from asking people, and of course people have the solution with themselves of going for COVID appropriate behavior, but Dr. Laharia, the point is that the best and the most effective way of addressing this concern, identifying these cases, is testing. Now, unfortunately, we see that testing has gone down in India, right? As soon as the cases started reducing, we saw that far from our capacity increasing, the number of tests has gone down. And secondly, on genome sequencing, do you think that we are doing the best that we can?
So the first thing is that testing has gone down from 3 million tests a day to around 2 million tests a day, which is, in the current scenario, is fairly fine, because we also need to remember that resources are finite and you need to smartly utilize those resources. When cases are coming down, I would not say that testing has gone down, but what would be more important, that are we doing testing in those areas where cases are being reported. So that's a very important point. But alongside, since we know that resources are limited, and since you raised the issue of genomic sequencing, I think that's one area
before,
where...
Before, Dr. Laharia, before we move to genome sequencing, you know, testing, again, sorry to cut you short.
Yeah, no, sure.
My apologies. The point is that here we were boasting of actually increasing our testing capabilities. During the second wave, there was a lot of talk of us having increased the testing capability to about, you know, 45 lakhs odd. Do you think that this is not correct? I mean, that has actually come down. Why should we think of resources or stretching those resources when we ourselves are claiming that we are going to boost testing? And that is the first step.
So what we need to remember, that there is a particular threshold to conduct tests, 140 tests per day per million population, and India is doing far above that particular threshold. But of course, the testing can be increased and it can go to a particular level. Indian government said that it need to be increased, or it would plan to increase to a particular level. But we also need to remember that when the cases are going down, and when whatever resources are available, we want to deploy those resources most appropriately. So for me, it is not the exact number of tests as long as we cross the threshold. Sure. For me, it's more important, are we doing testing in those areas, the rural India, where the cases are being reported?
Yeah, correct. That's an important point. And what sort of test? What sort of test are we doing? Rapid antigen
and
or
RT-PCR? Yeah. Even if the 2 million tests a day done, I would deploy tests from urban area to rural area to understand how the virus is moving in those settings, rather than going for this thing. But if you increase testing to 4.5 million, but only in urban area, that is not going to help.
Okay.
So now, it's equally important to move to the right direction and identify tests in the right area.
Now, Dr. Laharia, for that important question, and I'm going to ask all our panelists the same question. Do you think we're doing enough as far as genome sequencing is concerned? I mean, Dr. Arora did address that concern very briefly, though, that what you're seeing in terms of cases right now, the Delta Plus variant, is only because we have tested that much. We're not testing that variant enough.
Sanket, if you permit me.
Okay, yes.
Like in Haryana, Dr. I was telling what Dr. Chandra was asking. We have that scheme which we started, Haryana Villages General Health Checkup Scheme. You will be surprised, 1.88 crore people were screened. And out of them, the data which is there with me is, we looked at the persons who had influenza-like illness, and the number turned out to be 1,10,928. And subsequently, we did a rapid antigen testing. And in that, we had 3,744 were positive. Those who were left, then we went for the rapid your RT-PCR positivity. Again, we picked up additional 1,400 cases. It's not that the state governments are not doing. So we did that one. And today, now in Haryana, we have 0.5%. testing rate, the positivity, which has reached peak of around 14 to 15%. As far as the genomic sequencing is concerned, we need to look at it. It's good to talk about it. We need to see how much capacity we have it. So looking at that, large number of labs which are doing it for the research purposes have been put into it in that consortium. And now the institutions are picking up, buying it and taking. So it will take some time. But nevertheless, I think it is important to remember us is that when we are talking in terms of gene sequencing, yes, we need it. And probably the time has come for genomic epidemiological surveillance, which is not one time, it has to continue. It can't be, and it has to be a sustainable process.
Yes, Dr. Laharia, the question on genome sequencing.
So India definitely has not done enough genomic sequencing. We know that around 45,000 genomic sequences have been sequenced till now, while the original target was 5% of the total confirmed cases. So this is really slow, but I think time has come, especially when we are talking about the emerging variants, Delta Plus variants, that the genomic sequence is rapidly scaled up. We know like now 18 additional laboratories have been incorporated in INSACOG to conduct genomic sequencing. But India's current genomic sequencing capacity with the 10 labs, earlier 10 labs, was 30,000 samples per month. Now, if we look at the number which we want to achieve 5%, and in my opinion, with the emergence of new variant, it should not be five, and those only baseline testing, but also the additional population of people who die of COVID-19, especially children, all those hospitalized, those subgroups should also be conducted genomic sequencing. That's how we will identify what is the clinical characteristic, what are the breakthrough infection due to this emerging variants, and that is really essential. So what should be done, in my opinion, that in addition to the 18 labs which have been involved in the INSACOG, there should be sufficient funding by the state governments to conduct sequencing. But there are two more points which I want to quickly highlight. One is that it's not the genomic sequencing only which should be the focus. Because genomic sequencing, we know it's expensive and time-consuming. So something called smart sequencing should be done, which essentially means you collect samples from those areas where the cases are emerging, especially Delta plus variant and other part. Second part, genomic sequencing is like many other countries which are doing genomic sequencing are not doing full genomic sequencing. They are doing genotyping assay, which essentially means you identify a particular mutation. For example, Delta plus variant has a K417N mutation. Now, instead of doing full genomic sequencing, the probes can be developed which identify that particular mutation. And then you do genotype assay, and which can be done at low cost and very quickly. So India need to do smart sequencing and genotyping assay. And that is how it will identify the emerging
Very quickly,
variant.
Since I'm running out of time, Dr. Garg, I want to come to you now. Now, a couple of months ago, there was this huge conversation about a next wave targeting children, affecting children more. People were trying to prepare and have, you know, children wards, pediatric wards. I want to ask you, Dr. Garg, what about our efforts as far as vaccines for children are concerned? I don't think that is talked about a lot. We're so busy in other things that seldom conversation on this.
Yeah, Sanket, it's a very important question. One thing which you have to remember, whether it was first wave or second wave, we did not see much difference in terms of number of children. If we were to talk of children less than 10 years of age, it was about 3% in each. And then if we talk about, you know, from, you know, 1 year to 19 years of age, it was approximately 10%, and that too in each this thing. And another thing which was, you know, which was observed was that the infection in children was much less severe and children recovered faster. And it's not that we are not talking about vaccination for children. We are definitely talking, and the trials are already on. And already, you know, we are having, you know, Bharat Biotech, which is already doing, you know, the trials, and which are already, you know, being taken care for children who are going to be from 2 years onwards. But to my opinion, it will be much better, even if the vaccine comes out, to first prioritize the vaccine for children who are 12 years and above, because we see much larger obesity in those children nowadays, and those children are bound to suffer from comorbidities as well. Correct. So it is important the systems are being prepared, the manpower is being trained, but it is not, you know, it is going to have a, we are focusing on the holistic approach.
Correct.
It is not that we are talking about, it is all about systems preparedness so that we are not caught unaware. But to my mind, it will not be predominantly children who are going to be infected, but nonetheless, preparedness is always going to be better.
Absolutely.
Sanket, I just want to add what Dr. Sunila has said. If you really look at the data of the second wave, which has come, practically no difference in terms of percentage of people as per age, and in the percentage of death. The only thing is that we had the lockdown last time, we had flattened the curve, everything came up together, and there was a peak.
Okay. Right. I've run out of time. Thank you very much, Dr. Rajkumar, Dr. Pandya, Dr. Chaudhary, Dr. Garg, as well as Dr. Laharia for joining us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, so we seem to talk a lot about vaccination, that drive is picking pace now. But there are concerns, a lot of queries, not really concerns because vaccine hesitancy is now slowly reducing, but a lot of queries. And where do we go when we have any doubt? We go to Google. We type out certain questions, our queries. We've sampled some of the top concerns, and we are going to ask them to experts on your behalf. So we have Dr. Vishal Rao, who is the Dean of Center for Academic Research, SCG Cancer Center, and member of the expert committee, COVID Task Force of the Government of Karnataka. Thank you very much, Dr. Rao. The first and the most important question in almost any format, whenever there is any story, any conversation, any new development, is the question on the safety of the vaccine. So what would you have to say with these new conversations that are now coming out as far as whether vaccines are safe or not? I'm asking you this question because now you have a Delta Plus variant. So against this Delta Plus variant, is the vaccine safe?
So there are primarily two aspects to this. The first aspect is efficacy and the other is safety. Now, when you're talking about safety of the vaccines, we need to all understand that all of these particular vaccines that have been introduced into the market have gone through phase one clinical trials, phase two, phase three. And that's why it is very, very important to understand that unless the governments see good safety in the phase one clinical data, they do not permit you to enter into the market. So almost all of these vaccines are very safe at this juncture. The second question is efficacy. How effective are they against the new variants? Mm. And this is something very important to understand, that when these vaccines were first made and got authorization under emergency use, they were created using the original strain of the D614G. This was the one that was primarily found in the first wave. Now in the second wave, we predominantly know that it was the B617.2, the Delta variant, that was predominantly causing the second wave. Has the vaccines been useful in the second wave? Yes, definitely it has been. Correct. There are no data to show that it is not protecting against the Delta variant. However, the growing concerns are that the mutations of this RNA virus of COVID is happening very rapidly. Till date, we found that there's about 25,000 mutations that have been seen in India. And the GAIR-19 database shows us that there are about 8,572 variants, like the Delta variants and various other variants. Now, the WHO, whenever they study these variants, we divide them into three parts. The VUI, variant under investigation, or VOI, variant of interest.
Correct.
And finally, VOC, that is variant of concern.
Yeah.
Now, we know that the Delta Plus variant is being called the variant of concern. And that's why it's very, very important for us to we have to be on the guard. But at the end of it, what I would like to add and say is that as the mutations go on increasing, there is higher chances of vaccine escape mutations, which is why a lot of companies have already started talking about modified vaccines or even going back into the drawing board to create a completely new vaccine.
Hmm. Okay. And, you know, as far as these cases are concerned, it's a very important point, Dr. Rao, that you mentioned. The virus mutates, right? The virus keeps changing. What are the chances of us reimagining the vaccines sooner rather than later?
So, very interestingly, a couple of days back, the ICMR came out with a preprint of a P2 variant, which actually showed reduced neutralizing antibody titers against this particular variant called the P2 variant. So what we are seeing is, as we go on and as the virus mutates, we know that every time that this particular virus emerges out, it becomes a little more stronger. Now, there are three important concerns that one needs to consider when we are talking about these variants of concern. First one, they are more transmissible. Second is they can be more fatal. And the third is they reduce the efficacy of the vaccine.
Correct.
So these are three primary concerns all manufacturing companies of vaccines are concerned about and are very closely monitoring.
Correct.
Because it may so happen that in the coming days,
they're used to this because they know that the virus will mutate. So these companies know that they will have to upgrade or change it.
Modify. Or completely create a new one.
Correct. All right. Dr. Rao, thank you so much for answering these questions.
Thank you.
With that, it's a wrap in this edition of The Big Fight. But news continues on the other side. Stay with us.